Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Coming strong with another edition of Longhorn Blitz with Horns 24/7. I'm Jeff Howe. Let's not waste any time and get right into it. Let me bring in the rest of the team. He is the master of the soundboard, the drop machine extraordinaire, our lead research analyst on Longhorn Blitz, and a daily fantasy guru. He is Matt Butler. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty well, man. How about you?
Spring ball started today. I'm fantastic. And the third member of our team, he wears many hats, but for the purposes of this podcast, he is our lockdown corner here on Longhorn Blitz. Lifetime Longhorn, 2002 UT All-American, 2002 semifinalist for the Jim Thorpe Award, fourth-round draft choice of the New York Giants back in 2003, spent his NFL career with the Giants, Lions, Bears, Bucks, Broncos, and a year with the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL. When he was done with football, he got himself back to Austin, Texas in the 40 Acres, where he earned his degree. Whenever that T-ring comes back in, we will make sure he wears it proudly. Nevertheless, he's a card-carrying member of DBU, and when you get that All-American honor recognized by the NCAA, they make sure you get one of those black cards. Number 21 in your program, number one in your hearts, Mr. Rod Babers.
Thank you for the intro, brother. I appreciate it. It feels even better when there's football, actual football to talk about.
Exactly. Real quick, anywhere you get your podcasts, search Horns 24/7. That's Horns 247, no dashes, slashes, or spaces. Click that follow button when the feed pops up. Get every episode of Longhorn Blitz whenever it drops on Wednesdays. And please, if you'd be so kind, leave us a 5-star review. We would not be here without you. So thank you for continuing to support the Longhorn Blitz podcast in all the ways that you do. Yes, Rod is correct. Spring football is here. I was out at practice number one this morning. We're recording this on a Tuesday, so I was out there this morning. Got our little media viewing window. You guys know how I roll. I was up on the big field with the offensive line. Kind of got to split the difference and watch quarterbacks and wide receivers work a little bit. Saw a little bit of tight ends, running back. So that's to say, I saw very little defense, so I was going off of what my coworkers at Horns 24/7 told me about the defense, but Rod, I'm going to start with you. You played with some big offensive linemen back in your day. You know, William Winston, Lionel Gar, Antoine Kirk Hughes. These were, you played with the guys that were 315, 320 plus. Leonard Davis was definitely in the plus category.
Mike
as well. Rod, it's been since that long that I have seen on the hoof with my own eyes offensive linemen as big as these guys. And the fact that Kyle Flood has recruited big people that you watch him, even in, as Sark likes to call it, as a lot of us do, the underwear Olympics, to watch these guys just move, it is incredible what Kyle Flood and Sark have done in their time here. And I'm telling you this right now, when you can be in spring practice and be legitimately three deep on the offensive line with scholarship guys, like have three full lines, this is everything Texas fans have wanted the offensive line to be for about the last 15 years is what they've got right now. That was my biggest takeaway from day one.
Yeah, I mean, that's big humans, right? That's what Sark has emphasized. And I think they have put together kind of a simplistic philosophy when it comes to talent acquisition. We're just going to recruit the stuff that we can't coach. And right, they, as a staff, seem to have gotten together and be like, hey man, over the years, what do you seem to have come to the conclusion that you can't coach? You're a good coach. You wouldn't be here if you're not a good coach. What can't you coach? You got to recruit. Kyle Flood said, I need size, girth, and mass. I can't coach it. I've seen guys with great footwork, great fundamentals, great hand placement, all those things. But I can't coach the size. And once you got a guy that's just much bigger, they can be overwhelmed. You know, Sarkis' side is speed was the one thing he can't coach. He's like, I can get guys open. I can scheme guys open. I can develop quarterbacks. I can, you know, develop the passing game, but I can't teach speed. And when my offense is functioning at its highest level, it's got the fast guys out there, the speed guys out there. And I think they're coming to that conclusion on defense with some things too. I think that they're coming to that conclusion with coverage on defense. Yeah. They're recruiting coverage now because they know they can't coach it. They're recruiting versatility now because they know they can't coach it. They're recruiting pass rush skills because they know they can't coach it. And I always thought that was just a really basic, but also a really, really good place to start in terms of roster construction. Just coach, bring in guys who have skill sets and have traits that you can't coach. And that's exactly what they're doing. Now, they're doing it at a much higher level, but It's just that's a great rudimentary philosophy of, you know, building a roster. And then you can come up and coach the guys up and everything else. So that's what we're saying. And the big humans thing, listen, I mean, I had Mike Williams and Big Leonard Davis. I mean, look, Davis is probably 360. Mike Williams is probably 335. And I mean, and those guys can move for their size. So Big humans is not a new thing. I mean, Jimmy Johnson built the biggest offensive line in the history of the NFL at the time when the Cowboys were on their dynastic run. And ever since then, everybody's been trying to stockpile big humans. So it's not a new thing. The new thing is it seems to be with Kyle Flood is he wants big humans, and you pointed out, that have the ability to move around, that have, you know, the ability to actually have great footwork. It's not just the mass that he's recruiting. So I'm with you. They're definitely SEC ready. They're still not going to be the biggest line in the SEC. That's how gargantuan and mammoth the SEC is. When they have their average offensive line is probably going to be 330, somewhere around there, and they still won't be the biggest line in the SEC. They'll be among the biggest. They'll be like second. They'll be a second or third. They'll be in the top three. But Sark, you know, he wasn't doing this to go into the SEC, but he was looking at what sets the best teams apart in college football, and he found out it was mass and just, you know, obviously sheer size on the O-line, and that's what he recruited. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that's what makes the SEC the best conference in the country.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there with not only the size, but getting those traits that you really can't coach. And like we've seen before, like Sark's first recruit here was speed, is getting a guy like Worthy to come over because he had a vision for what he is. But he's also talked about that one sort of thing that you can't necessarily, it's not tangible, but just like that love for football. And that's something that's we've always talked about. There's in recruiting a really hard ability to actually be able to go out and find that. But we've talked about, you know, the personality of a guy like Sark and being somebody that can get in and really get to know some of these players as a, you know, young recruit and stuff. So it seems like he's done a really good job at identifying not only that, because we've seen the way that it's clicked and his ability to develop these guys, but then just to have those certain traits that are uncoachable. And when you look at these young dudes that he's bringing in, like, it's pretty insane. Like Connor Stroh, redshirt freshman's listed at 372. You know, Kojo's listed at 350. You have what, Yumu Zulu or Zulau, he's 334. Kirkland, a redshirt freshman, 366. Like, you're talking, we saw a guy like, you know, Sweat on the defensive line. He was a guy that was over 360. And you've seen some big linemen like Cameron Williams. I guess he's a junior. He's one of the older guys that's over 360. But you look at these young dudes and across the board, it's like all of them just have immense size. And if you couple that with the type of footwork you're speaking of and coach up and develop these guys the way we've seen previous offensive linemen be able to turn into something that when they were the raw piece, it wasn't necessarily something you could see. Man, there's a high ceiling for these guys. These are the guys that you see taken at the top of first rounds in the NFL draft, which Texas hasn't had for like 20 years.
Right. It's interesting. You know, one thing that stands out this spring is typically when we talk about the freshmen to open up practice, we talk about those guys because it's our first time seeing them, really, especially the spring enrollees. And, you know, once the scrimmages and everything start, we don't really talk about the freshmen much after that. But this roster's built a little different because you've got so many freshmen who are spring enrollees. 18 of your freshmen, you only have four guys that signed in the 2024 class, the high school guys that aren't on campus right now. It's 18 on campus. And, you know, you talk about physically impressive guys. I mean, whether Ryan Wingo at receiver, you know, Phil Smith, Kobe Black in the secondary, Aaron Butler's looked really smooth. Jordan Washington, a tight end out of Langham Creek, just watching him go through drills, I know here's my big overreaction. Every year there's a guy that I'm like, us as a recruiting industry, we just got that guy's ranking wrong. You know, we had him as an unranked four-star 24/7. I think Jordan Washington's a guy that we're probably going to end up being way wrong on. We should have been much higher on him than we were. But it's weird, though, you talk about guys adapting to college football. When you've got this many freshmen, it really makes for a unique spring because these freshmen aren't just going to show up and then just kind of hang back and let the vets take over. You're going to need some of these guys to play heavy roles, take a lot of snaps in your scrimmages, especially, Rod, where you're going to get to a point this spring where you're going to get some of those guys that don't need to scrimmage. You might hold them out. So these freshmen aren't just there to take up roster spots. They're there to work. These guys are going to get some work this spring.
Yeah, I mean, why else? Why would you come in early, right? Unless you're thinking that you're ready to go. You're ready to go out there and compete. And, you know, in terms of the newcomers, too, include the transfer portal guys there, too. And then you got, 20, 24, 25, whatever, just new additions to the team in just one spring. Like, I've never experienced that. And I think that might be a new thing just for Texas, and it probably is going to be a more common thing. But I think for the young guys that I expect to actually be competing for – not necessarily a spot, but competing for a share of reps in the rotation of guys. I do think, you know, Xavier Filsimi at the safety could be one of those people. I mean, you look at, they want to rotate safeties. They got Makuba. You know, they obviously they got Derek Williams. They like Taff Daddy. They need another one. And I wonder if they'll decide, you know what, let's put that youngster out there in that safety rotation, because we'll see obviously how he handles, you know, having a new system, new language, higher level of competition. But if he can digest it pretty quickly, I wouldn't doubt if he's one of those guys that ends up battling for spots in the rotation. Alex January, I mean, they need bodies at the defensive tackle position. We'll see what Sadir Mitchell and Aaron Bryan, Jerry Bledsoe, and all those guys offer. But if they, you know, if that spot's still open, that rotation is still open, or they need to expand it because that's a first world problem. You got a lot of guys that you think can give you starter quality reps. Yeah. And that's a guy I think you could consider, because from what I've seen on film, man, he's an old soul. And I think his game might translate sooner rather than later, I should say. Another guy, Ryan Wingo. I mean, I know you got a deep wide receiving core, but he's a prodigy. I mean, the combination of that kind of size, that kind of speed, you just don't see every day. That kind of explosive potential you don't see every day. So that's another guy that I think will be out there. So I'm with you. And you brought up the tight end. I mean, I like Gunnar Helm, but Gunnar Helm hasn't really shown that he's a guy with a really high ceiling and upside just yet. I think he's got it within him, but we'll see if Sark wants to funnel usage and funnel targets his way. You got Amari Knobloch you bought in, but if that guy just shows that he's one of your top two tight ends, which you only got a couple of them on campus. I knew you got Juan Davis too, but you only got a few of them on campus. And if he shows far and away that he's a, you know, he's advanced as a downfield threat or even advanced as a blocker, I wouldn't doubt if they want to say, hey man, we're going to accelerate this young buck's development, put him in the rotation. So the real question is, how many of those young guys, I know the transfer portal additions, they're playing right away, but how many of the young early enrollees from the recruiting class are going to be in the rotation of players? The cornerback position, that's another one. The corner, they want to rotate corners. You know, we don't know what Jadae Barron's, if he's being cross-trained and what he's going to end up playing. I think it'll be the nickel, but if they want to move him around, you know, Gavin Holmes, you got obviously Malik Muhammad, you got Terrence Brooks. They want another corner to rotate in there. They want four of them so they can rotate guys. If Barron's still at the nickelback spot and they don't necessarily like what Gilbo offered them or any of those other guys, one of those young corners could end up coming in the rotation early. So I'm with you, man. I think you got five or six young bucks who at least will battle for spots in the rotation or reps in the rotation.
Yeah, it's really weird to look at. You know, I thought Ryan Wingo, when I first glanced at him this morning, I thought he was wearing shoulder pads. Like, that's how impressive his frame was. Wow. And there's usually, like, of the mid-year enrollees, and granted, I don't know that Texas has ever had 18 of these guys for any spring that I've been around for.
No.
But, you know, look, usually you'll find, like, if there's, like, you know, 8 to 12 of those guys, give or take a few, Like, you'll find like one or two jokes. Oh, he can play. But man, Wingo, Kobe Black, Phil Simi, hell, the two both running backs, Clark and Gibson, Aaron Butler, Zeno Umezulau. He's Zena's a little bit away, but his length is, good Lord, it's exceptional. I think Ty Anthony Smith is going to be a guy that helps him on teams, you know, right off the bat. Jordan Johnson Rebell at safety is another guy that could play on teams. Rod, you mentioned Alex January. I mean, there's like eight or nine guys among these 18, like half of these guys that are going to be in the two deep playing like high leverage snaps. And I don't think it's going to be, it's not the old Texas problem where, man, that's all we've got. It's just because, man, these guys just look good enough just on the hoof. And granted, when pads come on, it could be a completely different story, but just looking at these guys on the hoof running around, you're like, man, these dudes just, they just look different.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, they're recruiting a different kind of athlete, right, from the guys that they inherited. And I think it's because they decided we're going to coach up certain things, but certain things we're not going to even worry about coaching up. And I would say now it looks like the receivers are getting a little bit bigger that Sark's bringing in. It seems like, I mean, he still has the slight, small-ish frame speed demons that he likes at receiver, mm-hmm. but those young guys are bigger. Parker Livingstone,
yeah, they're,
you know, a little bit bigger, and so is Ryan Wingo.
Yeah, they're the five-star frame of those freshmen. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I can take in a transfer that maybe has, like, one diminutive aspect of it, but that's why was at a lesser school and is moving up. But, yeah, when you get to that point that you're recruiting those five-star guys, when they see what you did with the guy with the small frame, like a Worthy, and that's where, like, when you look at Sark just since he's got here, like, it's immediacy. If you can play, you're in. Like, if we're talking just, you know, DB room, last year it was because of suspension, or because of that first half suspension, but Malik Muhammad, that first half against Rice, was flashing. It was like, damn, he can play. Derek Williams, he was flashing immediately. I mean, think back to X-Man's first year as a true freshman. Like, he stepped on and was like the best receiver that Texas had, like, right out the gate. CJ Baxter's a starter, or, you know, Anthony Hill's making splash plays against Alabama. Like, you look, Kelvin Bakes walked in, was immediately it. Now, like, say Quinn or JT Sanders, they were redshirt freshmen, but, like, they walked in and they were immediately day one. You're like, oh, that's your full-time starter. He's playing, like, as many snaps as possible. And we're talking, all these guys are freshmen whenever they came in and had the impact. And you immediately were like, all right, they're as good or better than anybody in their position group room right now. And that's just because, like, if you're hitting on these young guys, you expedite that type of development, because, you know, if you're getting this program to where you want it to be, you aren't going to get that senior year out of these dudes. You're going to be getting these dudes out in 3 years. So you need to maximize the amount of time that you have there. The earlier you play them, the better they're going to be. And it's just like where you're at in modern college football.
You know, Rod, it's getting to the point, and I we'll see when the pads come on. I keep bringing that up. We'll see when the pads come on what happens. It's getting to the point that you've talked about where there was a point in your career where you were entrenched as a starter, but, you know, you're kind of glancing over your shoulder at a young Cedric Griffin, you know, a young Michael Huff, and it creates that sense of urgency. That's the way this roster is going, man. That's where Texas is right now. There is competition at pretty much every spot. Like, even, you know, like, you look at the edge group, right? Baron Sorrell and Ethan Burke are your returning starters, but they recruited Colin Simmons for a reason. They brought Trey Moore in from the portal for a reason. And you got two entrenched starters that are like, man, I need to bust my hump this spring, because if I don't, one of these other guys could take my job. I could be out of a job just like that. I was thinking about that with the offensive line, like with a guy like Cole Hudson. Man, they say you can't lose your job to injury. All Cole Hudson did after starting 13 games as a freshman was have a shoulder surgery, and he's out of a job. DJ Campbell's blocking his path to the field. So it's, you've got a roster that at every position group, do you have talented depth? Remains to be seen, but you've got competition at every position, which is what you want.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, you got first world problems, basically.
Yeah.
Right? At almost every position. And I'm totally there yet. I think there's still some positions where, you know, I do think they have yet to kind of stockpile all of those rooms to make sure they're two and three deep with NFL players. But you're right, man. They're pretty close. And these days, because of the transfer portal, you essentially can speed up that process and expedite that process. So I'm with you. I think that right now, if you look at where that Texas roster is, they're really close to getting to the point where in practice every day, you're going up, you're competing against NFL guys, competing against NFL guys everywhere. Now, that like I said, they're not there yet, but I remember by the time I left, when I was leaving in 02, Texas was getting there. Yeah. Texas was they were pretty close by the time I left in 02, where if you were if you were at practice and you were a, you know, a defensive back, you were practicing against NFL wide receiver. Same thing with linebackers going up against the O-line and D-line going against the O-line. Tight ends, you know, your quarterbacks to, you know, the running backs. Like, you just had NFL players everywhere. So when we went out there and played and we went team, which is, you know, obviously ones on twos or ones on ones, we would basically be essentially, I would say 60 to 70% of the guys out there had an NFL future, either being drafted or undrafted or playing an NFL roster. And that's basically what you want. When Kirby Smart rolls out his team drills, when they go, you know, twos on ones and ones on twos, it don't matter. You can go ones on ones, ones on twos. 70% of the guys out there are going to play on Sundays. And essentially, you got an NFL practice.
Yeah.
And that's when NFL scouts want to come and hang out, because they're like, man, I'm just hanging out here because I can get a lot of work done. I can get a lot of work done. It's, you know, I mean, this is about this whole damn, but looking at this roster, it's about, you know, half these guys going to play on Sundays or more. That's basically what you want to get to. And I think Sark is close. I think he's close. But the truth is, only like five or six programs in the country can say that.
Yeah.
It's Texas, you know, Georgia, Ohio State. It's what used to be Bama, but it's only like five or six, Michigan now. Only like five or six programs can even brag about that.
Yeah, and that's exactly like, if you can get to that point, I don't think that value is even noticed as much as it should be. Like, if you can get your team to that point where each day in practice you're going up against opponents that are at least as good as anything you're going to see, it really can make you that much better. Because, I mean, just look at the way that we saw the offense and defensive line sort of, you know, exponentially improve from something that you had a lot of questions about the O-line. Within like 2 years, it goes from being huge questions to, man, this team's pretty strong and they held their own against Bama and they can hold their own against almost any pass rush. But then when you think about it, it's like, well, yeah, look what they're going up against in front of them. And then the same thing at times, like, you could sort of see like the improvement on the back end of the defense. But when you start to look, it's like, man, X-Man and AD Mitchell, or like even like the year before when you had backs like Bijan or Rojo coming out, like, going up against that every day makes those guys like a Jalen Ford, or like you see Michael Taft, his type of improvement. And whenever that becomes just your normal, that you have to defend against these type of guys, and then now you can get to the point that we're talking about filling out the entire roster. So every single position group is starting to have that type of depth to where each rep is still going to be at a high level. I think it's adds so much value to your team that you can feel as if, man, when we go out there on Saturdays, in the worst case scenario, they're going to be seeing what they're seeing in practice. If not, it might be a little bit easier. And if you can do that, that's when you know you've got to a really good spot.
Rod, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like a healthy sign of your roster is not the number you're taking out of the portal, because let's be honest, man, a really good program could end up having to take a decent amount of guys from the portal if you have sudden NFL defections or guys buried on your depth chart that feel they need to go somewhere else. But I feel like now a good way to measure a healthy program is the caliber of guy top to bottom you're getting out of the portal. And you know, when we look at this group, we got to see some of these guys this morning. I mean, Kendrick Blackshire, to be able to move at 260 pounds, we don't see 260-pound linebackers in college anymore. He's always been a bigger guy, but he is humongous. And, you know, they recruited, you know, Isaiah Bond and Andrew Makuba based on how much work they were getting on day one. They look like they're pretty much going to be walk-in starters. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. You know, Trey Moore and Amari Nyblack are going to figure it out. They're being factored into this deal pretty prominently. Same goes for Matthew Golden. Tia Savea, Chip Brown, my colleague, Chip watched more of the D-line than I did. He said Savea was moving around pretty well for a guy, you know, listed at 293 pounds. They're not just taking guys to fill spots out of the portal, man. They're taking guys that with the expectation – You're going to be a frontline player or have a chance to be a frontline player. That says a lot when your whole portal class is nothing but those type of guys.
I'm with you. I think the portal can show a lot about your roster. I think also the guys who are leaving your roster and where they're going, right? Are they being coveted by schools that are Power Five schools, or you know, are they being coveted by schools that are blue blood schools, or are they dropping down to a Group of Five level or Division Two level? Also shows you a lot about the players that were on your roster and the type of attrition you have. And I think Texas has actually had pretty good attrition, because the players that Texas has lost, a lot of them have gone on to Power Five programs. They're not dropping down past the Group of Five level. So I think it also says a lot about the type of talent that you're churning out. You're always upgrading the roster now. It's unfortunate for some guys who just, you know, wanted to, they still wanted to eat chicken fried steak and have a scholarship at Texas, right? And that's ain't nothing wrong with that, all right? They earned that through their high school achievements. But now, unfortunately, because the college game is becoming more professional, you got coaches that are like, man, I'm churning your butt out. You know what I mean? They used to call those guys, that guy's a liar and a thief. He's a liar because he said he wanted to play football, and he's a thief because he's wasting a scholarship. And you got guys like that on every roster, but now, not anymore, now with the big boys. Yeah. Because they're trying to get those guys out. They're trying to churn out that roster. It used to be Mac Brown would have a few of those guys on the roster, and it was all good because, you know, you could, how are you going to churn them out? How are you going to do it other than recruiting? And then it would have the natural cycle. Now, that natural cycle has been disrupted by the transfer portal. So you've been like, you know what, man? I want to churn out this position, and I want my third or fourth string guy to still be a guy that can compete for starting reps and be NFL caliber guy. And they can just essentially make it uncomfortable for that player, churn out that position, and then bring in somebody via the transfer portal, out recruit that guy. It's just, so it's very different than it used to be, man, back on at every school, but especially on the 40 acres, a blue blood school like that.
I once heard our good friend Brian Jones refer to those guys, Rod, as he called them riders and eaters.
Yeah,
they just want to ride the bus and eat the chicken fried steak on the way to the game.
Exactly. See, it's the same thing. I mean, every roster throughout time has had those guys. But I will say, with the modern business of college football, at least at the elite levels, the highest levels, SEC, Big Ten, your big boy football, I don't know if those guys are as comfortable as they used to be. I remember those guys like, man, no. I'm fine here. I love dining hall. I love going out Thursday through Sunday. All right, love being on the sideline for the game. Love telling all the women I'm a Texas football player. I remember those guys. It was fine. You can have those guys. It's cool. And we had enough dogs. All right, we had enough wolves and dogs on that team. We were gonna be fine. All right, but now coaches are, because I guess they're you know, their job's on the line too, and you have a very professional mindset with the transfer portal NIL. They're not really willing to let those guys just kind of sit and eat chicken fried steak and waste a scholarship anymore. You got to be bringing something to, they like, man, I'll get a walk on to do that. You better be bringing something to the table. And that's so the game has changed, ain't no doubt.
Yeah,
they weren't coming up to the room to eat chicken fried steak and watch film. They're just doing nothing else.
Yeah, just for it. Hey, I love those guys though, man. They were great. Like I said, now it's a business. Oh, yeah. It's a straight up multi-billion-dollar business. That's what we wanted, because now you got the free market. Players are getting their end of it, and it's great. But there's also now a darker side to that, where the coach are like, well, it is a business, and you know what? You ain't pulling your share, so we need to move on. And I think a lot of that is happening. We saw it with Deion. We saw Deion straight up say it. Like, these guys suck. I'm getting them off my damn roster. Period. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, and he's just the only one that said it out. He said the quiet part out loud. But the truth is, that's happening everywhere, baby. That's just the reality of it now.
That's what this whole deal is, right? You just said it. Everybody's saying the quiet part out loud now. Hey, the term I've heard to describe this, Rod, that's going on across the country is you'll hear about guys being processed out.
Oh, nice. Nice spin on that one. I like that.
Guys being processed. Where you're being processed out. In the real world, that's when you get future endeavored in the real world, which means thank you for everything you've done. We wish you the best in your future endeavors. You've been future endeavored. So, all three of us have been future endeavored in this business.
Oh,
so,
man, plenty of times.
hell, I got a call. I got a call from Matt right after he got future endeavored one time.
Yep, that happens to everybody.
Hell, like, I don't even know if you'd turn in your key card yet, Matt, but it was like, hey, I just got fired.
Yep, nope. It just, sometimes you think you're going into a meeting, and the next thing you know, there are two suits behind you, and they're handing you a folder.
Oh, hell.
Been there.
Yeah. By the way, I don't even think my previous radio employer even asked for my key card back. I think I still have it for whatever that's worth.
Good for you.
Pretty sure it doesn't work.
I still do, too.
I don't know.
Didn't
if
even
doing
ask for the
good.
Key card back.
Yeah.
No, hey, I want to close with this real quick. As we continue, we're going to continue on with spring ball up until April 20th, which is the spring game. We did our staff roundtable over the weekend at Horns 24/7. Just the topic, the question was one Longhorn you're really excited about seeing this spring. You know, my pick was Jarray Bledsoe for obvious reasons. You got to have depth on your tier D line. Is there anybody, Rod, that day one in the books going forward, Matt, Rod, whichever one of y'all wants to take it as we wrap this up, who's one, give me one guy that you're really looking forward to tracking their progress up to and through the spring game.
That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm deciding between two of them. We said both their names, though, but I don't know. Ryan Wingo's like the flashy one, being that he's just a five-star receiver. You like the skill guys, and they're just, you know, a flashy new toy, somebody that you've heard a lot about, and you know it's going to be able to fit within the system, but you necessarily, like, don't know what it looks like yet, which is always something that's big. And then Trey Moore at the DN position would be the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like the Trey Moore one. That is good. I'll go with, because I like all of those, I'll go with the DBs. I'm going to go with Malik Muhammad, and I'm going to go with Derek Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm picking two, but I think, you know, the secondary this year, I would be shocked if it's not, if it doesn't take a huge leap and become a strength. Now, you're going up against tougher competition in the SEC. But I mean, that we've been waiting on that group to take a step and to take a leap and become the strength of the team rather than be a liability. Last year, they were a liability. They were a liability the year before that. They've basically been a weakness for Texas every year Sark has been here. But now you got veterans all across the board in the secondary. And as you just pointed out, Jeff, you got high caliber, high upside guys behind them now with that freshman class coming in and some of the depth you've been building. So I'm going to be watching those guys. I want to see if Manny Muhammad can take the leap to be an all SEC caliber corner. Not saying he's going to do it, but to at least be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think Derek Williams has the ability to at least, and these are the two guys, right? These are Sark guys.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm watching them specifically. Jadae Barron, you know, Makuba. Obviously, Makuba was at Clemson. Jadae Barron, that's an old head. They inherited Jadae. I want to go with the guys that Sark and his staff, they looked at their skill set and said, these are the types of secondary players that are going to take Texas to the next level defensively. And in the secondary is Malik Muhammad and Derek Williams. I'm watching both of those guys. I really want to track their progress. If they don't take a huge step, an exponential leap forward, the secondary won't either. Yeah, the key for the secondary becoming a strength is those two guys taking a huge exponential leap in development. And I think they can. The question is, will they?
Yep, and those two are two that, you know, the secondary, it's a group, so you can't necessarily just judge them by their individual metrics. But if you look at just how they performed, the NFL passer rating against them against man and zone, they were borderline elite last year and were the best two on the team. Derek Williams, it was in man coverage, allowed, this is counting the bowl game, 74.8 NFL passer rating against man, 66 against zone, both of which would be considered elite if it's under 80. And then Malik Muhammad was arguably your best player in man coverage, only a 49 NFL passer rating against man, which is like insanely elite. And in zone was at 97, which is, say, a little bit above the average if you look at the NFL passer rating in college. But you look at those tools, those two were arguably your best two DBs alongside Jadae Barron last year. Jadae Barron, for context, was 39.4 or 6 NFL passer rating against man, which is also insanely elite, 97 against zone. So his number is really close to mirroring Malik's.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the Malik thing, because Malik's eyes, I think, are undisciplined. And that's why in zone coverage, I think he's bad, because he's a ball first guy. He's a ball hawk.
Yeah.
So I think he's taking a lot of time looking at the ball, looking at the quarterback in the zone, rather than going through his keys and focusing in on his man. He's great man coverage because man is simple. Get that guy. That's your guy. And then he's
at same with Jadae. Yep.
Yeah, exactly right. His athleticism takes over. Jadae should be better in zone. Jadae is a football investigator. He should be better in zone. I think what happened to Jadae is teams started to recognize how meticulous and how basically how fearless he was in reading his keys. I mean, this is a guy that has no hesitation. There's no doubt when he's when in his mind when he's reading a key, when it's confirmed by, you know, whatever happens pre-snap and post-snap. And I remember last year, teams got him right on double moves and out and ups, and they got him on basically counter key plays that would use his keys against him. You know, they get the tight end screen on him, things of that nature, the tight end, the block and go, where he would do the stock block and go. So I think that's why in zone, because he was probably in zone in those instances a lot of times.
Yep.
And then maybe that's why his eyes got him in trouble, because they literally were using his eyes against him. So that's what I'm going to say for today, but he should be way better in zone, because he's a much more well-rounded football investigator who uses clues and thin slicing pre-snap to narrow down what they're going to do to you and how they're going to attack you and exploit you.
Awesome stuff. All right, we'll stop it right there and pick it up next week as we keep talking more spring football. We'll also have Pro Day will be done by the time we record our next episode, so a little draft talk as we month of March, guys, is halfway over. So we're steady on into the spring, and I love every minute of it. Matt, thanks for everything, man.
You're more than welcome.
Rod, we appreciate the time and the knowledge.
Anytime, brother, anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matt, for Rod, for everybody at 24/7 Sports, the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network, and the Horns 24/7 Podcast feed, where you get each and every episode of Longhorn Blitz when it drops on Wednesdays. Just search Horns 24/7. That's Horns 247. No dashes, slashes, or spaces. Click that follow button anywhere you get your podcast. Get every episode of the Blitz. And thanks to Matt, get all of our archives. Our classic interviews and shows are on the Longhorn Blitz SoundCloud page.
Yep, just type in Longhorn Blitz.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
For the Horns 24/7 family, for the Longhorn Blitz family, I'm Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, and we will catch you again on the next episode.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.